Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pre-Match Muti.
Pre-Match Muti!
The Dingosaurus, the man from London, North London, apparently King of the North London. And then we've got King of the North, a last 100%. Man on the league table in the Premier League, but got some
holding
Saudi
you
money.
All up. Holding your love.
Got some Saudi money that's keeping him happy, as if he's getting a bit of the money. And then we've got Claudio, Mr. Little Tournament himself, Liverpool.
You got a lot
to explain in terms of the manager, but I think we should start with some exciting news. So today was the launch of the Discovery Walter Sisulu Soccer Challenge, which is held in Soweto. It's going to be held on the 8th of December. Our very own Claudio Barrero, Mr. Goal Lounge TV himself, has been involved with this project. Can you just tell us a little bit more about this project and what Goal Lounge TV has been doing in terms of this tournament?
Oh, thank you. So, what an introduction. Can we first start off, gentlemen, give him a round of applause for that? I don't know if he's been practicing week in, week out, waiting to do it on a
pre-match. Hey, man, listen. When you're a deputy president, you need to actually be ready for when the day the president is not available. So, because I've been, doing my job, as a host myself, so I think I'm ready,
Yeah, no, I think you've done well. I think you've gotten a lot of confidence from your F-offs there. Telling the bus to F-off. That's what you've been doing.
Basically.
Yeah, but Selo, thanks for bringing that up. I mean, it is an exciting thing from a Goal Lounge perspective. The Discovery World Sulu Soccer Championship, it's actually a challenge. Hold on. Admin needs to get fixture. Give me a second.
I said challenge by introduction, so I'm surprised why there's no challenge there. I was like, oh. But that's the wrong way to start off, man. Come on, Claudio.
Yes. Hold on. Okay, there we go. It's done. I made it. So what's exciting is that this is a tournament that takes... Are you guys getting reverb? Because I'm hearing myself.
Yeah, I can hear you echoing.
Okay, now it's fine. I think it's stopped now. There we go. Okay, cool. Yeah. What's exciting is that the tournament takes place in Soweto every year, and it's for the community of Soweto. So it's for amateurs that want to play, and it happens normally throughout the whole course of December. Last year, they didn't have it because of COVID. And this year, Goal Lounge has been tasked in supporting Discovery as well as Safa and bringing it back to the people. And so that's exciting. And today, like I said, it was the first media launch. We managed to get Spiwe Chabalala, Ronwin Williams, as well as Andile, new CAF Champions League winner. And Dilid Lamini in the house, and they spoke a little bit about their experiences. I mean, Lamini in 2019 won the tournament, and now she's gone off. After that, she was scouted by Sundowns, and now she's gone off to win the Champions League. So the tournament is a fantastic tournament where it does offer people an opportunity, and also it's Kasi flavor to the max. It's proper. You're going to go there. The guys are playing for the fans are playing for them, and they're loving it. It's just great back and forth. Yeah, so it's just exciting from Goal Lounge perspective to get involved and help bring us back to the community. And like with a sponsor like Discovery, who always put a lot of backing behind the things that they do. It's a great opportunity for us to really showcase what we can do in supporting this. So it's exciting for Goal Lounge. And also, gentlemen, you need to make appearances throughout December, just so you know. Your media passes and accreditation is
up there. Up there. My Goal Lounge t-shirt will be ironed, will be ready, will be clean, will be crisp. You know what I mean? I'm there, man.
Yeah, I think one or two things do need to be mentioned, though, because it's COVID, things have been a little bit different this year because of having to be able to, the players have to be vaccinated. So we're kind of going with the hashtag saying, take the shot, Mbane, I think Mbane electricity, the power, let's get the power back onto the field as well as off it. And let's take the shot off the field to get back onto it. So that's kind of the message we're trying to push. And the players can't play unless they are vaccinated. So we're really trying to do a drive. We've had to kind of move timelines a little bit in comparison to how it traditionally works. Because of the scenario, so we're getting players registering, but some of them aren't vaccinated, so we're going to have to really mobilize them and get them on a bus and make it happen, which is quite an exciting process. And we're also changing it up. So normally what they do is the Gogos come from Soweto, and they come and they have food and they do their health checks. But what we've done is we're going to actually do the team draw, and we're going to let the Gogos do the team draw, whereas normally it gets done during the media launch. That's a nice little exciting
that is very cool we've
added to that. So yeah, so that's gonna be cool. And I hope to see you, Jetsa. Yeah.
How did you guys find the goggles?
No, the goggles are there every year. It's something that Walter Sully does. They're there every year and they love the tournament. They go and they actually watch the tournament, the goggles. So it's a community sort of orientated tournament, and like the possibility for the players, because a lot of scouts do come and normally before the final, and there's a lot of money for the players to win as well. I know I'm going on and I'm talking about this, but the winning side gets about 80K as well, both men and female. And that's also nice from an equality perspective. You know, there's an appreciation for all football teams. There's also juniors this year. There are going to be no juniors though. When I'm saying juniors. I'm little under 17s, they are, but not the kids. It's not the little ones. Normally they get the kids from Alex and Soweto and they play each other. Little Alex Soweto derby. This year that's not going
to
happen.
So I think it would be worthwhile for Nick to go there and to go do some scouting. You know what I mean? Maybe he can lure some players to University of Pretoria. But I see in the comment section we've got Aman, Arjun, Dia back in the house. You know, our American contingent, the mathematicians, the scientists, the clever people. But yeah, Dia says she supports Liverpool now, but which is making me very sad. It's
yes, breaking Dia, my heart. Get in, get in.
My heart.
So she didn't watch him this Arjun, afternoon.
Myself and Arjun aren't happy with that. But what can we say?
Yeah, man. But I think with regards to the tournament, I think Claudia, we've already spoken. You know, I've got my eye on this definitely this coming December to come and watch the boys. You might need to get another media pass or some sort of a pass for your fellow teammate Jan Mabuza. We were speaking about you. Yeah, we were speaking about you at training yesterday. And he was telling me a cool story that you were the first person that said he could actually become a coach. And he still remembers that to this day. He actually wants to see you so he can shake your hand. So I said, listen, I'm in contact with him. He wants to ask you specifically if you remember the moment. You guys were apparently at Menlyn. And he told you you're talking a load of rubbish. And yeah, fast forward, 12 years, he's now in the hot seat at Amatuck. So that's quite cool.
Yeah, look, I don't remember where I was when I told him, but I remember. So when I was 15, just to give you context, so Jan, before he was coaching and stuff, he was at Tux in the USA side for years, and he was playing in Castle. So when I was 15, I was playing with him, and he was the one guy who just kept shouting at me left, right, and center. Like, he didn't stop shouting at me nonstop. And he was just one of those guys who really liked the game. So eventually afterwards, I was like, well, you stopped playing. I said, well, you like coaching, clearly, because you tried coaching me on the field all the time. Why don't you go ahead and do it? So, yeah, it's great to see that he's actually done it.
Yeah. No, but and he's from Soweto as well. So I told him about the whole tournament. He knows about it very well. And I said that you're heavily involved. So, yeah, we must get him down. And, yeah, maybe he'll find one or two gems there.
I'm sure he will. Look, he might be a little bit more restricted because we're cutting down the players, but yeah, there's always talents on show there. And it's quite exciting. Yeah. Also, I would say there's normally before the final, they have a day where the Discovery employees play the Pirates legends before the final as a curtain raiser. And I don't know, I'm not sure yet if that's going to go ahead this year, but it is quite exciting.
Can we get a Golos team, bruh?
You know,
I'm ready, bruh. I'm ready.
I think for next year, I think that's definitely something to look into. I'm telling you,
we got a goalkeeper, you know.
But you've got two left feet. You've got two left feet, though, Sello. So I don't think you're going to be any help.
You don't know my passing range.
Hey man, Sello's never missed a penalty in his life. And also, let's also not forget Wonga. We got Wonga who's doing nice soccer drills and he's pulled a groin. So I don't know if you can't do the soccer drills, are you going to do it on the field?
No, it wasn't during the drills. It was actually during a match. I'm probably next year I'll be back.
All right. Gents, now that the formality, thank you very much for that, Sello. And also, please rate in the comments what you thought Sello's introduction sounded like. If it was a good one, rate it out of 10. Please let us know
let me know out of 10, guys.
Any training we need to do.
If I could take over the reins from Claudio, guys, please let me know, guys. I already take over when he's not available, but just let me know if I should be the permanent host of Golan TV.
he's been vying for that, eh, Nick? Nick's been quiet about it.
Zillo, I think you'll be sacked before that happens, bro. I think it's Claudio's the one who holds those cards, so he can sack you at any moment.
It's like the quick cards.
Yeah, I think just go easy on that matter for now, at least.
Well, let's talk about a sacking. I mean, we know that United sacking, jobs available. Carrick had a good promising start to the Champions League there, got them qualified to the next round. But Ralf Rangnick, interim manager. Gentlemen, we got an interesting name thrown in the mix here. Wonga, you've been quiet for this little introduction. You want to kick it off because Settle's quite happy. And we know once we're getting going, he's not going to stop talking.
Can you just look at what Arjun and Diaz are saying in terms of my intro?
Hey! Pressure. I like the pressure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
I went out to Cloud. I don't have much to say about it. I think when United fans are happy that Ole is out, and I'm just, yeah, kind of bleak that you went out too early for my sake. but yeah, obviously, I think I don't know whether it's good or not. We'll have to see. I think, because for me, I think the main problem, I don't think Man United's problem was their coach wholly, you know. So yeah, I think Bruno also had problems. Bruno finished second, did he not? He won Europa League. Wasn't able to touch the league. There comes, undeniably, your guy had a, what's his name? Solskjaer had a bad run of form. And yeah, I wondered, what is the interim manager's objective? Is it to win the league from where he is? Is it to finish second? Get a position in Champions League? Is it to win the Champions League that he is in now? I think those are all the questions, I mean, I would like answered and to know, because Man United fans would be frustrated if it's
stabilized.
If it's not number one. Yeah, that's the first.
Come on. Which manager comes in as an interim manager where your team is seventh on the log and you expect to win the league? That's unreasonable expectations, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But I mean, look, I mean, that's Chelsea. Unreasonable.
Look at how far Chelsea are. Last Chelsea, when Tuchel came in, he came to stabilize and they became top four. And the only thing, and what he gave them was a Champions League victory, you know what I mean? I think the league is being overly ambitious right now. I think the league needs stability, needs consistency, needs to a team that's actually going the right direction. And defensively, we've been so poor this season that I think we can't be aiming for a league title. But I think we can definitely aim for a top four and to do well in the other cup competitions. You know, cup competition.
But was it? My question is, Solo, is it? The coach, is it the manager's fault solely? Or is it... your players, like Maguire, he's definitely going to keep on playing.
Did you watch the game? Did you watch the game against Villarreal?
The last 30 minutes. Yeah.
So the game against Villarreal, if we look at the first game at Old Trafford and the second game, right? The first half against Villarreal at Old Trafford, I think we had given away 7 shots on target. In this game, we had given away 2 shots on target, right? Cool. Already an improvement, right? And I think the fact that he played a Martial and a Sancho, who were at least willing to help out by tracking back a bit, it helped in terms of just to have the defensive solidity. And I saw there were certain moments where they were trying to press, right? Cool, yes, wasn't maybe not the best press, but I could see them talking and say, okay, cool, let's press. Oh, let's hold. Let's, you know what I mean? I could see like something different, you know, to when I saw it again with Solskjaer, when Solskjaer was just, let's just run. Or let's just be mad or whatever, you know what I mean? And I also think it took big balls from Carrick to bench Bruno Fernandes, you know what I mean? And when Bruno came on, he was hungry to contribute. And him and Rashford contributed quite well to the team. But I think at the end of the day, guys, the job for Ole was too big for him, guys. I think, you know, a manager who's relegated Cardiff and who's managed in Norway, you know, and yeah, guys, let's be honest.
But I mean, if you look at the question that was asked, this Ralf Rangnick, you know, is he going to be someone that's probably going to change your fortunes? I think he will. I think if you look at it long term, he's got a lot of experience with regards to a project And I think Man United need to become a project. There can't be a team that wants instant success. So he's going to stabilize. He's going to come in there and stabilize, take the interim manager role. And if I was Man United, I would promote him to director of football at the end of the season, get 100%. Someone in that he sort of recommends that he can work closely with and work on a 2 to 3 year plan where they can maybe bring in new talent to complement the current talent that they have and potentially go on to greater things. But I mean, just I've watched a few videos of Ragnick and a few sort of talks that he's had in the past, and he's very eloquent in the way he talks. His understanding of football is very good from what I can see and from what I've read. And he is a project person. He wants 100%. He wants to move forward with a specific philosophy and with the way he wants to play. And he wants, from what I saw with the managers he's worked with, is that the director of football and the manager need to be on the same page wholly and completely. And he's a firm believer. He's a firm believer of that. And I think, you know, if he can get it right, he sort of the Red Bull projects, he was sort of the head of that, and they've turned into something quite incredible in terms of not even just from a footballing perspective, but also from a business perspective. You've seen the players that they've produced and the quality that they've have sort of brought in. So, I mean, his record, he hasn't won many trophies as a coach, but I think in terms of his stance within a club and the projects that he has taken on, he has done well, and I think he will stabilize them, and I would look to take him on in the future and just push him upstairs to work with the manager of your choice.
Yeah, he's going to stay on for 2 years in a consultancy role. So I think obviously that role in itself will probably be defined at the end of the season. But he definitely wants, as you said, he wants control and projects. And I think one of the things he wanted to do was to work at a big club and work on a big project. So he wanted to bring in the what he's done at Hoffenheim and Leipzig and Salzburg, and bring it together with a club that's got history, and bring the two together and like just work off that you know, in terms of the projects he's worked on and a club having history and you know, obviously a big fan base and everything. So you'll get that in Man United, and I think it's exciting in the fact that it's a footballing decision. It's the right footballing decision. Man United never make the right footballing decision. You know what I mean? Man United always make the right commercial decision, but never the right footballing decision. So it's great for them to be making the right footballing decision. And it is exciting. And I think his philosophy is great. A Klopp, Tuchel, and a Nagelsmann, you know, obviously they look up to him in terms of his philosophies, and they've taken a lot of what he's done in terms of how he had his Schalke team. His Schalke team in 2011 went to a Champions League semi-final and lost to Man United in the Champions League. He coached, I think he's the first coach to get Leipzig to number two after Hasenhüttl left Leipzig. he took over Leipzig from being director of football to being the coach of Leipzig and get them second, and then brought in Nagelsmann, and then obviously still continue to work. But I think that whole Red Bull project that he worked on like for so long has bear so much fruit in terms of players being sold for huge profits and actually in Austria obviously winning the league, Salzburg, and Leipzig being top four consistently in Germany.
Claudio, I'm going to jump in front of you here, but may I add, I don't think this is the right move. I think it's a move that will stabilize Man United. I do think if they want to get a manager, they can go and spend whatever they need to. So if they want a Poch, for an example, they must go get him. And if they want a director of football to put them in the right direction, they must go get Rolf as well. I don't think that they had, and like you had said on Tuesday, Silo, they never had a plan. They sort of sacked him on Sunday, and it was really like, okay, so what now? So now they're sort of scrambling. Whereas if they had known maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that they were going to do this, they could put the sort of plan into place. And like a lot of the pundits are saying, why don't you, if you've got the money, why don't you just go get the manager you want? But I do think if this is the mastermind of maybe a Woodward saying, listen, let's get a Ralf Ragnick in and he'll stay in as a consultant for the next 2 years. Maybe he's looking at, listen, saying Man United haven't really had a direction for the last 3 to 4 years. Let's get this guy in to put a blueprint down. He can maybe manage the team for the next 6 months, and then we'll get the manager that we want in. I would like to think that Man United are powerful enough to go get both of them. You know, Ralph's not going to be the coach for the next 3 to 4 years. But I know it is maybe financially probably sensible not to go and spend 10 million on Poch when it could be a little bit less in the summer. But maybe someone else becomes available. So yeah, I don't know. I think as a Man United fan, it's a good decision, but it's also like, okay, this season's sort of written off. We're going to just stabilize and see how high we finish. I don't know if you agree.
I think it's the second prize. You know what I mean? The first prize would have been to get a proper manager and go to the club and say, listen, PSG or Ajax, listen, we want to buy out your coach. We want to bring him to Man United. Here's the money. Bring him in. Let's go. I think that would have been first prize.
Yeah.
I think second prize is the Ralph Rangnick thing, because at least the other second prizes were to get in the interim. There were so many interim managers. Stevie Bruce was mentioned. Ernesto Valverde, Rudy Garcia. So a lot of managers were being touted as interims, but I guess the second prize we could have gotten was this one. Yeah. And I think we'll take the second prize because the first prize would have been obviously a permanent manager coming in, a Poch or a Ten Hag coming in, or a Zidane even coming in.
Well,
but you guys would want to see results.
Yeah, I think United fans at this stage have to be, they call themselves patient fans allegedly. So I think this is where the patience needs to kick in. But one thing that I find interesting.
Let's be realistic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying
making Champions League. Is that realistic?
But they threw to the group stage, out the group stages now. So, if you look at it, they've already played 6 out of potentially 13 games. You know, if I'm Ralph Rangnick going in there, if he does get the job, I would, you know, the season's a free hit, really. Like, if he fails, he's going to leave. He's probably going to get a job somewhere else, or he'll become a director of football somewhere else. So he's going to probably give it a good crack. You know, you might find a Man United in a final of one of the tournaments, or, you know, coming close in the Champions League, or pushing for a Champions League position, or maybe winning an FA Cup. But I don't think Man United fans can be too picky right now. I think they need to just take each game as it comes.
Yeah, and this is what I want to say about the decision, though. To the point of Settle saying, if we're looking at United fans having to be patient, what I want to say is this would be a great move if it was considered. But we do know the United board, and this was completely a knee-jerk reaction. However, they've got nothing to lose in this scenario because, like you said, yes, Settle says first prize would be going getting whichever manager, spending the money and getting that. But at the end of the day, the season at this point is a bit of a loss. And what one thing Celo and the rest of the United fans have been crying out for is someone who's making football decisions above the coach. And this is the opportunity and the consultancy does kick in, where it's someone who doesn't necessarily just observe and give his opinion, but is given time to actually work with the squad and actually identify it on ground level in terms of where improvement needs to happen. And that's a huge benefit if the understanding is given and if the mandate is given. Now, then it also gives them time to prepare the deal of whoever they really do want to get. They could now be having conversations with Pochettino, Zidane, and see what the likelihood is of attracting one of them is and try and secure the best deal instead of paying over the odds for a manager, if that makes sense. Because, say, for example, that gives PSG time to secure Zidane and get Pochettino, maybe the deal won't be as expensive, which is, again, great business decision, great football decision, and all very good and well if it is all considered. But again, we don't know. We don't know. It's not considered. It is United. So let's see how it plays out. And also think Ed Woodward wants to leave a legacy where at least it wasn't all bad under his regime.
And what do you think of Sam's comment there, Solo? In terms of the defense.
About defense. I think in all honesty, guys, a player like Lindelof, I think him partnering up with Varane would be the more suitable option to go with, because I think Lindelof this season has been much better than Maguire, and Varane has been very good when he's played. You know, we've shipped in so few goals when Varane has played. So I think a Lindelof and a Varane playing together would be the way to go. I think I'm worried more about our midfield because, you know, Akil can say something about Fred, right? But Fred plays well when he's with a defensive midfielder that is a defensive midfielder. He plays for Brazil with a Casemiro or a Fabinho, and he looks good in those. It looks good in those games,
yeah,
because Fred is good. Fred is good at pressing. Fred presses very well. You know, the goal we scored, he pressed high up, and obviously we got the goal from that. But McTominay, guys, I could do a better job than McTominay, guys. That guy,
he plays centre back or right back for Scotland.
Yeah, like right centre back for Scotland. And I really don't rate McTominay. At least I've seen Fred's pressing somewhere. I know Fred he has certain deficiencies, but you know there's certain players that are very good at pressing. Not all of them are good at keeping the ball on them. You know, you look like an Idrissa Gueye and you look like a N'Golo Kante. Those guys are very good at pressing and they let other guys express themselves. You know what I mean? So I think McTominay, yarra, wow, guys, like he needs to be coached again. But people say he's young. He's not young, guys. He's older than Declan Rice. He's older than Declan Rice.
McTominay, for me, he works, but like in the midfield, like I was watching yesterday, Man United are playing well. Sancho, I think you can see that's sort of something that Man United has been missing. You know, someone that can create things out of nothing. But in all of that, McTominay getting the ball, but then losing it maybe like 2 seconds with the next touch, you know. No disrespect to him, but I think a team like Man United,
Since when's the show about disrespecting people, Wonga? You're too nice now. You see, you were quiet on Tuesday. People were telling you things. Now it's no disrespect. Yeah. But you were loud on Thursday. But we're getting to the Arsenal thing.
Let me ask you this question. If Liverpool beat Man United 5-0 and Man United sack Ole that weekend, a Sunday? Then you get Conte in, like... Just like put yourself in those in that scenario. It's quite surreal to think. Man United go lose or beat Spurs. They sack Nuno and then they get Conte. I mean, you could have been in a position where you had Conte in if they had just pulled the trigger 2 weeks before.
100%.
It's crazy to think.
But you know how that club is, guys. It never makes the right decision. So it's later that. Definitely, the Liverpool loss should have been the catalyst for the sacking. I feel because that was an embarrassing loss. You can't be losing to your biggest rivals at halftime with such a big margin. So yeah, you're right, Nick.
Who do you think Conte would actually rather if he had to choose? If they were,
you take Man United. Man United, so quality
take Man United.
You know, take Man United, man. Exactly. Yeah. He's worked with Pogba before.
Bruno.
And working with other players that are actually world class.
But again, gentlemen, I know like on paper and right now he would have been a great signing for them, but we all know he doesn't stay there for long term. And if we're looking at projects and all those sort of things, I think for a club like United, a project needs to be given. And a Ten Hag, interesting shout, yeah. I think Kiel saying he reckons that Ragnik does get given the sort of consultant role ahead of
ball. I'm saying that Ten Hag is overrated.
Yeah, but this is the point I just want to get to. Before we speak about that, I just want to say that Ten Hag being linked, most likely a Ragnik decision. I think when you're looking at both sort of people or personas within football, it is about the philosophy. It is about nurturing the talent, the youth. And I suppose you are then heading, and I hate to do this because this is what's killing the club, but then you're heading more in a Sir Alex sort of direction where you can find a good core group of players like Liverpool have done with Klopp, but a young players from the academy, which is something that, you know, Ten Hag could foster. But again, yes, the comment saying he's overrated.
Yeah, wow. Just before we go there, I just want to also say that I think even with, Man United right now, I think even the, yeah, they've got a few, like you'd say, like a Fred, people are questioned about Maguire, a McTominay, but it's not really a big issue. In terms of the other players they have on the bench, you know. I mean, like now, I mean, you wouldn't say you'd need to go buy. You can say now so that you'd replace that one with this one, you know. And then maybe you'll go find a backup. So I don't think Man United's problems are devastating, to be honest with you, but they just need what they have at the moment to click. That's the honest truth, I think.
And also, Settle, you like mentioning Conte would never fit in because he would have told the board to go stuff themselves and they don't like that. So
you're like...
Right, gentlemen, but it is time now. I suppose this is the opening weekend, opening fixture. It's a game where two teams have had a lot of time to prepare, one without a manager or but one by a conference call at the very least because he's been has COVID. And then the other one, you know, the helmet head trying to get a new hat on for his hair. But it is Arsenal versus Newcastle this weekend, you know. So, hey. I don't know. Could it be two losses in a row after being so loud? And, you know, no. Newcastle's first one.
Nah. Look, I mean, look,
Newcastle's going to win eventually.
Yeah, you see, that's what I was even thinking about. The truth is, if you, and Nick, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, I never read anything, but if you think about just Newcastle's situation, you know, they've got new guys have bought now, the owners have bought the club, but they don't want to play in the Championship next season. They want to play in the Prem next season. That for sure is a must, you know. By all means, they're going to fight for that. So every point, is going to be important, and I think they're going to. That is definitely going to be funneled down from manager to the players, you know. And given the previous performance as well, I mean, gee whiz, I mean, 20 something goals. You know, that's a team on a mission. You know, they're fighting for those all 3 points. That 1 point for till the end, and it's important come end of the season, you know. So Arsenal, definitely, yeah, at days, past, not worried. It was daily bread. But looking at the situation that they're in now, the truth is you don't know what you can expect from a Newcastle. But also Arsenal, also, I think it's also as important. I would say it's actually more important to Newcastle, to be honest with you, than it is to Arsenal to win.
I think from a Newcastle perspective, we have really nothing to lose. Like, Arsenal, I think, are in a little bit of a position where we've lost pretty much every game, barring five, where we've got a few draws. So, you know, no one really expects us to get anything against Arsenal. And, you know, Arsenal coming off a 4-0 defeat, you know, they, like you said, Claudio, they generally go on a little bit of a wobble for maybe the next 2-3 games afterwards before they stabilize and go on another run. Our record's not the greatest against Arsenal. Arsenal generally turn it on when they play against us. But I think with an exciting sort of new philosophy, if you want to call it that, we will cause problems for Arsenal. I think the question is, can we just keep a clean sheet? And that's unlikely. I think hopefully we can change a goalkeeper, put Dubravka back in the sticks. He's just returned from international duty, played his first game in like 6 months for Slovakia. So he should be fit. And I think maybe one or two changes at the back. You know, Fernandes has been out of the reckoning for a while. Fabian Schär came in. He didn't play under Bruce this season. As Eddie Howe comes in, he's a ball player, plays for Switzerland, qualified for the World Cup, started first game. So I think he's the type of player that can be sort of used under an Eddie Howe philosophy. Federico Fernandez, also a good ball player. His passing's really good. Argentinian defender who's proven in the Premier League. I reckon drop the captain. I've said it, you know, drop the captain, put those two in there and see how we go. You know, our attacking threat is going to cause Arsenal problems, I have no doubt. And especially if they play the way they've been playing, forcing it out the back. I mean, we were pressing very successfully against the Brentford team. It will be more difficult against an Arsenal team, but I wouldn't like to say Maximum and Callum Wilson pressing me with a Willock and an Almiron behind them. So, you know, like if you've got, I mean, we've got the attacking threats, and if Jonjo Shelvey can be on his sort of game like he was last week, I think we've got every chance. I don't think we should fear them, and we need to pick up points. If we're going to fear them and try scrape a 0-0 draw or 1-1, you know, we're not going to survive. We need to pick up points. And I think that's Eddie Howe's sort of philosophy going forward. Hopefully he's on the bench as well. He's been testing for the last couple of days. The moment he produces a negative test, he can be on the bench. So I'm sure there'll be another test tomorrow.
And I think, you know, like I see people commenting and saying, you know, we did a good run against average teams. But that's what we didn't do last season.
Last season, very, very cheeky.
We were played against average teams and we get hammered. Season, you played against average teams. Is Leicester average team? We beat them. But Leicester were playing bad. Tottenham, we beat them. But they also, I'll admit, they were playing horrible that game. I don't know what the heck they were trying to do. But nonetheless, we took the points. But I agree with Nick on that fact. I don't know why Arteta did it. And I got emotional about it. And we were arguing with Claudio about it on Tuesday. But I still feel
that's that an wrong argument?
You can't.
Well, Did anyone else think there was an argument? Who thought there was an argument?
I think I think you missed his point, Wonga. And I think you might have missed what Wonga was suggesting, Claudio. I think you guys were like a miscommunication. I don't think
there was an argument. Oh, what a mediator. No,
I don't think there was an argument.
But like,
but it was amusing again, I think... to see you get very animated. So do it again, Wonga. Come on.
But I don't think... And even with that, you know, Arsenal came into that game against Liverpool. And that was the only worrying thing about me is that the other games we played, especially this long run, the game plan has worked. We've won, we've drawn two. I mean, won a lot and we've drawn two. And then now against Liverpool, the game plan wasn't working. And what do the guys do? They carry on doing the same thing. Literally, it was even worse, you know. It looked like they didn't have a plan. Well, in fact, they didn't have a plan B. They were just trying the same thing the whole time. And for me, I think that will probably be a worrying thing. You're trying something that's not working against the team. But it's Liverpool, huh?
Is that an Arteta weakness that he doesn't have a plan B?
I don't know. Because with other games we won, the other games like the ones we've lost against Brentford, Chelsea, and Man City, we got hammered. It was from Busa 1. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even see what the game plan was. Those ones, just get hammered.
It's not that he doesn't have a plan B. It's that his plan B isn't as good as his plan A. I think that's what it is. He needs to find a plan B. But Klopp doesn't have a plan B. Klopp doesn't.
Yeah, because Klopp believes in what works. You know, if Arteta went in with what worked.
But Wonga, also don't forget,
would it be different for me?
Klopp this season has been exposed to this plan A by teams that actually, I don't want to say your manager is inferior to those managers, but like a Brentford and a Brighton, you know, those teams, right, have inferior players, right? But like their managers are actually good managers, right? Mm. And if you buy into what the manager is saying and tell them this is how we're gonna disrupt Liverpool by doing X, Y, and Z and actually executing it to the T, and also Liverpool also maybe undermining the stature of those clubs, for instance, right? So, for instance, Liverpool doesn't undermine Arsenal. You know what I mean? Liverpool knows Arsenal's a top six team, great heritage, great players. There's boom, 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 boom. But those teams, they know how to expose Liverpool. And, you know, West Ham beat Liverpool as well. You know what I mean? So, a decent manager as well. So, if you as a team manager.
Liverpool had a really bad day against West Ham. Before you start talking about exposing and all the rest of the nonsense that you're saying.
So, Brighton.
Liverpool are killing the Champions League. Now you're talking about being exposed. Listen to this man talking about exposure.
No.
You were exposed.
But you were exposed against those three teams.
Guys, they were off days. Off days. So what? Now because they have an off day, now it's being exposed. Now
three
the
off days.
Exposed.
Three
what
off
nonsense
days.
Is that? No,
three off
man.
Days.
What's wrong?
Okay.
How many people
we had an off day against Man City.
Come on, man.
We had an off day against Man City and Arsenal. I mean, like Man City and Liverpool. Oh, we had an off day, 100%.
What's funny? When Newcastle have an off day, when we have an off day, it means we'll probably win. So, like, that will be kind of funny.
your off days, you got less on days than you have off days. That's the thing. That's your on day, man. What do you gentlemen think about Willock scoring the winner here? And also, can we have a bit of a wager? If Willock does do that, what should happen on
epic,
the show?
But listen, Willock has to go to... Willock should do something like go celebrate in front of Arteta and say, yeah, fuck you.
Must remove him from all Arsenal memory. Cut him off.
You know what he should do? He should play with a Lego in his sock or in his pocket or something. And then as soon as it's a little Lego guy, takes his head off and throws it at Arteta and just runs away.
Yeah.
Look at what Jason's saying. Claudio, yes. Back us up against these rubbish accusations. It's absolute rubbish. You gentlemen. Nick, I just want to say the difference is Klopp's got one plan, he's sticking to it. Yes. You saying Arteta's getting found out. Your huge argument is Arteta's getting found out because he's changing his game plan. That's what you're saying.
No.
Right?
No.
That's what you were saying. You were upset against the Liverpool thing because he changed the style of play. You literally said that.
Because I think. I don't mind the manager changing things, but I don't think it. Look, to be honest with you, I just don't think it was the right game to do it. To do something like that, I think Liverpool they should have gone. I know people have their own opinions. My opinion is they should have just gone out there with I mean, he got smacked 4-0. I mean, I think even he would know. I mean, he said they've learned, they had their lessons. But I agree with Celo as well. In the fact, I also can't take that out, is that there's a lot of, maybe there's a lot more than just the game plan. You know, the players have to buy into it. And yes, yeah, at
and
a
that's
point,
the thing. That's the
thing.
Guys
look scared.
Weren't buying into it.
At a point, like Lukonga and them didn't want to pass back, but it looked like, you know, they were forced to do these funny passes. Yeah. And yeah, there was no confidence in that. So I have to take that into consideration as well.
Yep. I just want to touch on Dia's comment. Yes, Liverpool are the best. You legend. I love this. I love this new look on you, Dia. It's really bringing out the color in your
Dia,
eyes.
Wait, Dia, wait. Dia, wait till January. You'll see something. You will tell us what's missing, Dia. Dia, you will tell us what's missing. It's going to look like a hole.
Dia, who's typing for you? Who is typing for you? Because that is blasphemous.
All right. Wait, let's just get back. Let's wrap up the game. Yeah? What's up, Vada?
Dia, who is typing for you?
I don't know. If someone is typing for Dia, it's a very intelligent
I would look at you the same, Dia.
But it will be. I'll be honest with you. It won't be easy coming this Saturday. It won't be easy.
So yeah, let's talk about. So Nick, from a Newcastle perspective, and before we give our predictions for this fixture, Eddie Howe, what's been happening this week with regards to his COVID scenario and coaching the side and how they've been preparing?
So from what I understand, he's written all the sort of sessions out or produced all the sessions for his coaches to sort of implement and deliver. And he's been getting the video footage and obviously giving his feedback where he can. So he's very hands-on in that sense. And that's what I like about him. He's very enthusiastic. You know, he's got his hands, you know, sort of stuck into the job. And it's unfortunate that it had to end the way it did just before his first game, you know, him not being able to be part of the squad. But you can clearly see, like, if you guys like get a chance to watch the Brentford game before the weekend, you'll clearly see a change in the way we play. And, you know, that, like, I mean, the stats say it all. You know, Wonga spoke about it. The first time we've got more possession than an opposition in 37 matches. In 38 games for Steve Bruce, he managed to do that once. And in Eddie Howe's first game, he did it in his first game. 23 shots, 9 on target. Our last game with Bruce, we got one shot and it was off target. So, I mean, clearly he's doing something right, but defensively we need to sort it out. And I hope we can do that so we can get a few points on the board before January. And I've no doubt he'll be in the market for a couple of defenders and hopefully a strong holding midfielder.
Phil Jones is available on loan.
What, loan or for free?
That's also I watch these what's this Premier League fan zone, and one of the idiots there said, Newcastle need to go get a guy like Phil Jones, and I'm like, the guy hasn't played in fucking 2 years, bro. Oh, we want to go survive with that guy, man. Come on, bro, guys.
Look, hey, Nick is going spill for choice now. He wants a Varane, he wants a Sergio Ramos.
Someone has stolen Diaz's phone, guys. I think Diaz in a relationship with a Liverpool fan.
100%.
Only reason.
100%.
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you think of my comments, Oaks? Comment on my comments.
Nick. I think what's important. The first thing I took note of is the change in formation 3-4-3. That's how I saw it. You know, it can be you can call it a 5-2-3 whatever, but I saw a 3-4-3. And as you said, Fabian Schär, a Swiss international, started that game. Lascelles also was there, and then obviously I think Gullington with that composed finish was quite nice to see. And you know, there was a pass where Shelby put it around the last defender and it went to Saint-Maximin. So I think definitely you guys are going in the right direction, and obviously Fraser coming on and hitting the cross for Saint-Maximin. I think, yes, Darlow's performance was disappointing. This is a guy that Nick wanted to be the England squad, but I think that in itself shows Dubravka should maybe come back in. I think Dubravka is the one that is more experienced. And I think he's the person that should be number one, right, Nick?
100%. I disagree with Vads, though. Phil Jones better than any Newcastle defender. If you looked at us, it's the exact same. No, but it's the exact same defense. Like, and listen to what I'm saying. Exact same defense that left Aston Villa in the championship, by the way, Vats, with the Benitez that was very strong, solidified us in the league, and then was handed over to Steve Bruce, and every player regressed. Every player regressed. And Lascelles, Jamal Lascelles, has regressed so far from being tipped to be an England international to go to the World Cup in 2018, and he's regressed. Yes, the players are not performing right now, but there is a player in them, to be fair. And Phil Jones is not that type of player. Maybe Eddie Howe can improve a player like him, but Steve Bruce clearly can't improve players, and he regresses many players that he coaches. So I do think the players there is something. I think one or two are probably past their sell-by date now. And that's why I think Eddie Howe needs to do a lot of work with them to try and get points on the board up until January. And if we want to improve, kick on and get into a top 10 eventually, we will need to add a few more and sort of ship out one or two others.
Yeah.
Right, Jensen, on that note, let's get those predictions. Wonga Denga, you're going to start, then it's going to be Nick, then it's going to be Settle, and then let's hear them. Come on, let's hear them. Newcastle versus, or is it Arsenal versus Newcastle, rather?
Yeah, I said it would be 3. Yo, beating Ramsdale is a heavy one, eh? 3-1. 3-1 to Arsenal.
Did you just say Ramsdale's the important one? Did I hear?
No, I'm saying beating Ramsdale would be a tough one.
It's a change.
Get a load of this guy. Get a load of this guy.
It only took him six weeks to be convinced.
Nah, I have a sneaky suspicion this is the week. Yeah, I say this every week, but I do think we can. I don't know. Just the way we attacked, I think we're going to score goals. I think it's a. So clearly a leaky defense. I know you had sorted it out before the Liverpool game. I know it is Liverpool, but I do think they will do their due diligence on Arsenal and find their weaknesses. So I see a 2-1 win here. I think Callum Wilson and St. Maximum will get on the score sheet.
No ways.
Yeah, I agree with that. I see that happening. Maximum and Wilson.
Cardi wants us to move away from them. Claudio sees us behind him. I see
a 1-1 result here. I think it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, no, I'm with the Nick and Vard sort of camp. I'm going to say a 2-1 victory to Newcastle. That's where I'm going with this. It's bound to happen. It is just bound to happen. Back
What's
to back.
The sucker break his leg.
The best. Listen. It is such a Newcastle thing to do that you don't win any game after 13 and then you go beat a team like Arsenal or a team that is notoriously a top 6, top 8 team.
That's the problem. Remember the time they beat Man City?
You punch above your weight.
Yeah, they beat Man City one time. That's why I say, like, our running is poor. It's very poor. I spoke to Jason about this towards the end, but we're not going to – I can guarantee we won't lose all of those games. And we'll speak at the end of January. We won't lose all of those games. Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Arsenal.
Yeah, you'll beat Liverpool.
They stay in there. We'll get a result somewhere. I don't know who it's going to be against. I think Man United might be there. Man United at home.
Why do you keep bashing Liverpool, bro? When Liverpool just bashed you, is that what it is? Your butt's still sore.
Hey, you can bash us. We're 5 points away.
Last week he was talking about if we beat you, we'll be ahead of you. Now he's talking about we're only 5 points away. Next week you'll be saying you're only 8 points away. Next week you'll say we're only 11 points away.
Can we take time to appreciate the football analyst saying Dia saying Newcastle 5-0 win with Willock all 5 goals?
Yeah, Dia
all
doesn't have an account.
I love it.
Oh, she's sipping wine.
Jess. Liverpool versus Southampton. Quick, we're just going to give our predictions and say what we need to say. Yeah? But before we do that, I just want to touch on the Minamino effect. I know we're talking about AFCON and saying Mane leaving, Salah leaving. And yes, they did play this week, even though they're meant to be, arguably, you could have rested them. But I suppose Klopp's trying to get the most out of them before they go to January. But Minamino.
Before they go to a little tournament. Before they go to a little
rest them against Arsenal. Wow. The disrespect. What are we talking about yesterday?
No, you saw it yesterday, bro.
Hey, I was gonna say.
but I want people to focus. Take notes. Minamino is gonna be key when those two players are gone. I'm just putting that out there. Okay, can we get the predictions for Liverpool versus Southampton? Let's hear it, Wonga.
Oof.
Liverpool versus Southampton. Let me just look at some.
Also, did everyone see? Sorry. Before we get the result, did everyone see Thiago's goal?
No, I heard about it though. I heard it was.
Oh, that one. I'm surprised he didn't look away when he took the shot. Also, but yeah, it was a good call.
It was finesse though. It was proper like a driving. Yeah,
good technique. Like, that was proper half volley. Touched, kissed the ground just once.
All technique, bro. All technique, bro.
Yeah, that grass cutter. That's what they call that thing, boy.
All right, well, I'm going to see that prediction.
Yeah, do you hear that, Claudio? That's a new one to bring into the memory books, eh? It's grass cutter.
Grass cutter. Top bins. We've got top bins. We've got a goal lounge sort of, what is it?
Linger.
We've got some street cred that's happening here. So we're going to see the grass cutter result. Yeah, another Thiago goal maybe against Southampton.
What are your predictions? No.
Okay, Selo, let's hear yours. Let's come back to Wonga. Selo, Nick, and then Wonga. Let's hear that.
I say it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Liverpool. And I think obviously Southampton have actually been resilient this season. I think they've drawn a lot of games similar to like Palace, but I think they'll just come up short in this game. So 2-1 to Liverpool.
No, I think they are on an absolute. I think they're a steam train at the moment. I think they're going to score another 4. I think 3-4 goals, yes, easy. Home, that feel good factor. They played a couple of lighties yesterday against a very good Porto team. They smashed Arsenal, smashed Man United. Why are they not going to smash Southampton? I think it's going to be a hiding 3-0.
Yeah, I think I agree with Nick. Probably be 3-0. Yeah, obviously they've got Mo Salah, Mane, those guys on some other thing. And I think if those two, again, always play and they're stable at the defense, well, they're not to be that stable, but yeah, they're going to be putting goals behind Southampton. I'd say 3-0. Maybe Southampton get a goal. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's possible they could get a goal.
But Mane or Salah scores. Guaranteed.
Mane scores or...
Mane or Salah scores. Guaranteed.
Definitely. I definitely say minimum 3 goals for Liverpool squad. Whether they concede, I just hope. If they do concede, Livramento better be on the assist or on the end of the goal. Also, Nevada, just from the sort of
did it fantasy.
Touch. He's in my fantasy, correct. Also, talking about did it touch the grass, Thiago's goal did touch the grass. It actually skid off the grass. That's like it, like little backspin off the grass. And went,
Just touched it and then grazed the bit. Yeah. See, cut that grass. That's what you call it, boy.
Just to touch on Aljun's comment, Jadia, what are you drinking? Laughing my ass off. Also, she's drinking the red juice. Get on board, Aljun. Real red
it's
juice.
It's wine.
It's wine. All right, yeah. Liverpool 3-1 victory. That's what I'm going to say. Right. I just want to touch on this game, Man City versus West Ham, gentlemen, before we move over to the Chelsea versus Man United game. Man City, West Ham. Is there a possible upset on the cards or Man City just too good for West Ham at home?
Anything's possible in the Premier League.
Yeah,
especially against with these two teams.
But West Ham sort of West Ham disappointed last week. They lost 1-0. They sort of
to Wolves,
sort of like rolled over last week. So obviously shows that they do have to an extent a soft underbelly when it comes to the longevity of their results and going on a very good run. But I mean they sit in fourth or fifth at the moment, so you can't really complain about their start of the season, but it is again, they're playing another game this weekend. They're playing another game tonight. It seems as though the Europa League isn't the sort of classic hangover that most English teams have on the Sunday when they play back in the UK. But I would hate to be playing Man City right now, like especially after beating a team riddled with absolute quality like Messi, Mbappe, Neymar, just a couple of days before. Man City are going to be oozing confidence. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's going to be straightforward for City, to be honest with you.
I agree with Nick on that point. I mean, I watched a bit of the game, the first half. You couldn't watch that and say that Man City weren't going to take that game. Navas was going to have to basically turn into a superhero in order for Man City not to score. Mahrez, what a problem he is, for these defenders. Those guys, who was it on that side? I think Kimpembe and them were really battling. I didn't know who that left back I didn't even take a look at it. Mendes. The left back is Mendes. Yeah, they were battling with Mahrez. And everything was left down there to Mahrez, and everything started there. I mean, if it works, why not punish it the whole game? And that's what they did. I agree with Nick. If they on that confidence beating, yeah, probably one of the best squads in the world. West Ham.
I think Pep's going to be very cautious of losing again, like he did against Palace. You know, it obviously has proven that it can happen.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to sort of guard against that as much as possible, this squad, and let it be a constant reminder to them that they are beatable and that they need to always have their guard up and make sure that they get the results when they need to.
Yeah.
We know City in terms of depth, City and then probably Chelsea, you know, they could feel they've got an A and a B team, and their teams are like very level in the sense, you know, whereas not many teams in the league can actually do without their superstars. And I mean, the true test for Liverpool is going to be during the AFCON. If a Minamino can step up and they can continue getting the results, if they can do that, then you put Liverpool in that same sort of class, you know. But City have proven that Sterling hasn't been playing this whole season, and now all of a sudden the man is firing, scoring goals.
Yeah, you yesterday. Sort of
thing. But I thought you could miss the chance actually yesterday, guys. It hit the post.
Yeah.
locker. He's got that in his locker, guys.
He does, but... I don't think anyone would want to play City after.
No, not now. I mean, De Bruyne is injured even. De Bruyne is not going to play this weekend. They didn't play yesterday, but City were rampant.
What do you think, Claudio?
Right, gents. No, I just want to. We've got 5 minutes left for the show. We still need to talk about Man United versus Chelsea. So let's get the score prediction out the way. Wonga Denga, let's hear the score prediction. We got Vada saying 3-1. We got Dia saying 3-0 to West Ham. 2-2 from Arjun. Very tough one. Amon saying 2-0 to City. Wonga, what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I say 3. I also agree with Vada. Maybe 3-1. Maybe West Ham get a set piece in. But yeah, I didn't think anything else.
Yeah, okay. I think. Clean sheet, 2-0 win.
Yeah, I think it'll be let's give it 3-1 to Man City.
Yeah, 3-0 victory to Man City. That's what I'm going with. Right, gents, the big one arguably for the weekend. I mean, Chelsea taking on Man United. Chelsea flying as well. Man United. Oh, Michael Late. Carrick, can he do something there? Can the team come together for this one?
He can. Michael Carrick can definitely do something for this team. I think this is football. Anything is possible. Yes, Chelsea are flying and they dismantled Juventus, but I think the first goal in itself was dubious. Aman's asking a valid question. Can Ranieri come in before the Chelsea game? Apparently he can't because obviously now after post Brexit the UK has work permit requirements for European workers, so he'll have to get do the visa work permit application, which won't be quick enough. It takes a bit of time, working days, everything like that. So most likely he'll be taking the training session next week, Monday. So it's a bit too soon for the Sunday game, but let's hope he'll be in the stands or something like that. This will be an interesting game for us. And guys, football is football. If a team wants to show up on the day, I can definitely show up. And I think the confidence booster that they got from beating Villarreal away from home and keeping a clean sheet will definitely help. And Maguire's not playing, which is another positive. So Maguire not playing is a positive for the team. A different captain.
Why is he not playing, sorry?
Ronaldo, captain. He's going to be captain.
Bruno will be captain if he starts. Or De Gea can be captain. I don't mind either. But Maguire got red carded, Wonga.
Oh, yeah, he did. I'm thinking. Anything's possible with him. So that's why I'm asking.
It's a one man suspension for 2 yellow cards. So he won't be playing this game. Yeah, so that's a positive for us. Whoop, whoop.
But, I'm looking out. It won't be. Yeah, Silo's saying it will be. I mean, he's right. I think it's, you know, those like a derby with Manchester United and Chelsea form. You know, when they say a derby form doesn't really count. But Chelsea's form, guys, like I've always said it and I'll sing about it, their defense. The Champions League conceded only one goal. They scored 10. The league, they scored 30, only conceded 4. And I think for me, yeah, as far as they might be scoring goals, but the manner in which they defend
is good defensively.
It's warrior type stuff. It's like they put their kids' lives on the line if they concede
a goal.
You know,
it's a cult.
Yeah,
it's a cult.
It's ridiculous.
And I think it will be a good test this weekend for them against the likes of Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo will be hungry to these are the games that Ronaldo came to Man United for. He didn't come to, with all due respect, to go play against Norwich and
Burnley.
Burnley, like the games that he wants to. No, Newcastle. Man, he likes to. Everyone wants to come up to the Geordies, the centre. But I mean, I have a sneaky suspicion that, you know, Carrick will go out on a high. I don't think you'll win, but I think it will be a positive result. I think you guys could definitely get a draw. You know, Chelsea's run has to end somewhere. And why not with a Ronaldo masterclass or him pulling you out of the grave as he has been doing for the last couple of weeks, couple of months.
Chelsea team is also, they've got the left back, the right back, the defenders, strikers scoring goals.
Hey, if you don't have Reece, fantasy team this week. Or
there's
any...
Chilwell as well. You know, there's Alonso as well. He's not playing now, but he's also been scoring. So you can see they're not relying on two people to score goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last game they never played with a striker. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Are they affected by January? Just asking. No, not
ZH. ZH.
ZH. ZH. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, he's also.
Mendy.
Mendy is huge.
Mendy's huge. That's big. That's like Mo Salah and Mane.
So do you think you're going to win, Zelo?
Yeah, man. I think, listen, man, it's, you know, football, guys. Football is will teach you something, guys, that there's no therefore in football. And there's no therefore Chelsea will win. You know what I mean? Literally, Man United on the day, any day can beat any team. And I think, obviously, having Ole out of it gives us a better chance. And having Maguire out of it gives us a much better chance. You know, so those two bad apples of the season are out. So let's go to Stamford Bridge and show
just for a
and show, and show what we're made of. You know what I mean? But I think what they'll probably do is that Carrick will probably set out, I'll say defensively, you know, to make sure that we don't expose ourselves at the back, but to also make sure that once we do get our foot on the ball, that we take advantage. You know, I think having a player like a Telles in this last game, the crosses that he was putting in to Ronaldo were quite nice. You know, he's obviously a very good crosser. So I think that those are the chances that Ronaldo wants, guys. Ronaldo, give him one or two chances, he'll score one of them.
Claudio, don't you think also with the fact that Ralf Rangnick is potentially coming in, that the players will play for potential places in his new sort of philosophy and lineup?
Yeah, definitely. I think that is something that happens anytime. If you want to stick around, you got to show up. And regardless of whether or not you believe in whoever the new person is, you've got to impress them. It's like going to having a new job with a new boss, new company. You've got to impress, otherwise you obviously either move down the pecking order, or if you do the job, you keep your position. And obviously no one likes losing or moving down the pecking order. But right, gentlemen, quick one. Goal scores. Let's hear it. I want to see what's going on here, Wonga Denga.
Look, based on current format, it's a 2-0 Chelsea. Yo, the defense is something else.
I think it will be a 1-1 draw. Ronaldo to score somewhere in the game.
Yeah, I think, I think actually 2-1 to Man United. Let's go. Come on, the Reds!
They sack Ole.
The faith is back. We'd love to hear that.
Yeah, the optimism's there. It's worth it.
Come on,
Reds.
We'd love to hear that.
Come on.
Wonga, Nick, is it on the same level as a, is it, or is it on the, let me ask Nick, the neutral party here. Is his optimism on the same level as Wonga's optimism?
What against Wonga against me? Arsenal against Newcastle.
No, Wonga against Liverpool.
Oh, no.
It's the same. I'd say it's even. It's the same. You know, you come from a bad patch, and you just want good things to happen. You say, look, Yeah, it's the
When
same.
you live in a dark tunnel, all you need is a glimmer of light, and that's what Settle's getting right now. So okay, let's see that.
It's the same.
Right, Jets. So we got our final scores there. I'm gonna go with the Chelsea win. I'm gonna say a 2-1 victory to Chelsea. Final thoughts for the evening and for the weekend and for everyone listening to us, gentlemen.
Arjun, you know what's gonna happen on Sunday, man. We're gonna be going soon.
So guys, just in case you wanted to know what Ronaldo actually says sing. And sing in Portuguese means yes, but he goes sing. So like if you're from Madeira, so to give you context, you'll be like in Portuguese, you'll be like olá, como estás? You know, you go to Madeira, it's like olá, como estás? You know, it's like there's something. So when he's saying sing, he's going sing. That's actually what he's saying. Just in case you guys are wondering. Yes.
Thanks.
Thanks for telling us
Google
now.
That.
Thanks. Just in case. 150. He's told us now.
Thanks. Just in case you're in Madeira. You know. No problem.
Thanks. Listen, my final thoughts, Newcastle to get their first win of the season. Come on, boys. Before December, please. Come on.
That's next week's pre-match, Muti, not this week, Nick.
We're going to get it before December. Hey, and guys, there's Premier League next week, Tuesday.
Midweek fixtures.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful.
Man United plays Arsenal on a Thursday. So, yeah. That's another win.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to have a live Arsenal stream for that? What time are they doing it? Should we live that?
Nah, it's at 10.
What we can do is we can have a live Discord chat while the game takes place. Everyone's keen.
Yeah. I'll be loud there. My final thoughts, I'll say it again. I know people clamped down on me. I do think the way even Charles is playing, the position they're on, I think it's their league to lose at the moment. Especially if they're going to go, they were close to December now. This is going to be important run of games. We know this. Everyone knows it. Come December, it's very important. If things change here, that's how the league could finish end of the year.
But Wongo, on that note, so does everyone here agree Chelsea's in the title race, but what about Liverpool's prospects? Do you think this January period is going to be so detrimental for them that they won't be in the race?
Yes.
Who are your fixtures against?
I don't know. We take one game at a time.
No, but I mean, if you're playing against Man City, Chelsea, and Man United, it's a little bit different to playing against Newcastle, Norwich, and Burnley in that period.
Give me 2 minutes here. Yeah, I'll see this. This internet, damn it. Or just look now and unveil this news for Claudio, when he's right, the one he's running away from.
No, don't worry about it. I'll let you think about it for the weekend.
No, I think you're in the title race.
I think you will be. You will be in the title race.
Are you in the title race, Celo?
Nah, never.
I'm just asking.
I was in it for the first four games, and then I got out of it.
Okay, do you guys want to hear? When do they leave? Do you know?
Chelsea's there.
No, but when do you leave?
Oh yeah,
AFCON.
Probably in the beginning.
So the 28th of December. Leicester, 2nd of January, Chelsea, Brentford on the 15th of Jan, Palace on the 23rd, Leicester on the 9th of Feb.
So AFCON starts on the AFCON starts on the 9th of January and ends on the 6th of February.
So when they come back, will they play Arsenal? Oh, come on. That's nonsense.
So the biggest game you'll lose those players for is Chelsea, essentially. But Chelsea also lose Mendy and Ziyech, so I don't know if that's sort of a silver lining there.
Kepa's been decent this season. He's been a penalty machine, so I think he hasn't been that bad.
Yeah,
gents, we have a new viewer here, Ashir.
Ashir Hussain.
Ashir Hussain. Okay, let's not go too far and say we.
I think he's talking about Chelsea. Nah, I think, but you'd agree with me in saying it's theirs to lose, right? Coming this period. December period is heavy. They're there.
They're on top. He's corrected. Let's not get too far. He says, let's not go too far and say we will win the league. We'll definitely risk.
Oh, Man United fan. Yeah, let's go.
I see.
Glory.
We're there.
Come on.
No, you mustn't come here and bring your devilish sort of attitude to this talk.
You still need to get past us, bro. You guys are still there.
What you did
us.
There, Claudio, your devilish talk.
Hey. All right, gentlemen. All right. Enjoy the games this weekend. Yes. Yes. You want to sign off?
And thanks. Settle. And
thanks. See you guys.
Thanks. Guys, thanks for everyone for tuning in tonight. Arju,
yes.
Dia, Aman, Ashir, Sam, Jason, Vads. Where was Pumlani tonight? Ah, damn, Pumlani didn't make the show tonight. Akhil as well. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. And if Arjun, you don't know what to be.
Oh, no, that's no, no. Oh, man. You see, one job. Yeah. Is the show wrong, eh?
But this is for
I like that you guys are weak. I like that you're weak. I was just
there we go.
You,
there we go, Nick. There we go, Nick. Let's hear it. You know, it's for Arjun. It's Arjun's sort of trademark on the show. Let's hear it.
1, 2, 3. Let's go. Stop it.
Stop it.